Hey, everyone. Before we start, this is Dan and Brandon from the future.
Hi.
We will actually start the episode
in a minute.
Future's
pretty great, by the way.
Yeah. We have flying cars. 45 minutes
45 minutes in the future. Someone's invented them, and they're everywhere.
But, I mean, by us saying this, Dan, is that going to...
We probably changed the past.
We just changed the... Oh, man.
Oh,
I see
sorry,
my flying
guys.
Car, which was in a briefcase behind Dan, because they also shrink into briefcases.
Yeah.
I've seen the Jetsons. Is vanishing. And disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just like Marty McFly's family.
Yeah. Oh, man. But we spent the whole episode and forgot to talk about our brackets.
Hey, so let's talk about our brackets.
So what's on your bracket today?
All right. So what you get to vote on today, mm-hmm. the two food heists are the Edelstahlkugel, alternatively titled The One So Cool It Sounds Made Up. Mm-hmm. Someone stole a giant metal sphere full of gin from the bottom of a lake.
Yep.
Versus mm-hmm. chicken wing embezzlement. Guy, if I remember correctly, in Southwest or Texas or something like that, embezzled millions of dollars worth of chicken wings from a school district during the pandemic. So,
yep. So either one of the coolest heists of all time or...
Or some dude stealing food from kids.
Yep, stealing from kids. You go ahead and vote. You can see why perhaps they are seated the way they are. We will be able to talk next week about the first victor from last week. But we're giving this one, while we're recording this, a little extra time.
Yeah.
So for the bad story ideas, we have the Great British Fake Off, one of my favorites that we have come up with, mm-hmm. which is the story of a muscle man who has to join, who's a secret agent of some sort or whatnot, has to go on the Great British Bake Show pretending that he is just a baker to try and solve a murder and or save someone or something like that. So you can watch the timestamps. It is against Coma, who's really in a coma, which is the one that I always have to look up because I even forget what it was.
That's a glowing review and such an even-handed description.
I ranked these.
Does it skew the results if we say that Brandon and I have actually already created a draft of an outline of Great British Fake Off?
Yes, we have. They may vote the other way because they just want the t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. Anyway, I don't know that these votes will get real interesting for a little while, but maybe they will. We shall see.
We'll see.
So vote for your favorite timestamps, and the entire bracket can be viewed by links in the description. We got that up. We heard your feedback. We were like, why can't we see the whole bracket? And I thought, that's a good question.
Why can't you?
And so you should be able to now.
You should be able to.
And we changed it to a Google form from a Reddit post because we wanted more people to be able to vote. You don't have to have a Reddit account or anything anymore. So you can just go and vote. And which one would you like a t-shirt based on? And now we get back to the real episode from us 45 minutes ago.
Well, and future Brandon and Dan mm-hmm. are going to go back into the future again.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we go back into our future or into the one we've screwed up.
Yeah. Mr. Wells.
Mr. Dr. Sanderson.
Mr. Dr. Wells.
Mr. Dr. Sanderson.
How are you? I'm all right.
Yay.
We didn't record last week, so.
No, we didn't.
So I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2 weeks.
I see that in my 2 week absence, you have just stopped taking care of yourself.
I know. It just goes downhill, right? It's gone.
You know, honestly, you look younger with a beard.
I look younger with
you
a beard?
You look younger. Even though it's coming in kind of gray, it is. I don't know.
That's odd. That doesn't normally happen.
It doesn't. No.
I feel like that you shave the beard and you like turn into an instant child.
See, yeah. I think that as soon as you shave it, you're going to look younger as
yeah.
well.
Oh.
I think I just perceive you as younger whenever you change something about yourself.
So I started this up for a video that will come out
mm-hmm.
pretty close to this episode, maybe okay. 2 weeks after it. But I can't announce what it is, but I needed to have some facial hair for that.
Yes.
I didn't get enough facial hair because I only thought of growing it about a week before the filming where I really needed like a month. But at least there's a hint of it.
At least
and then
there's something there.
Emily said, oh, why don't you grow it out and let's see what it looks like? Because last time I had a beard was 10 years ago plus. Mm-hmm.
How big did you let your beard get? Because I don't remember.
I let it get enormous.
10 years ago, big. I was in Germany.
Yeah. So this was when Giordo and I were going to do pictures which we had taken of us with giant handlebar mustaches as if old-timey.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to grow them. And I think I talked about this because someone on the weekly update I posted with the beard made the clever comment, oh, I see your mom wants to have family pictures again. Because that happened to be, we decided to do this, and then my mother decided she wanted family pictures. And Jordan were like, we're 3 months into this 8-month process of growing enormous beards to then shave off and have the mustaches. We're not starting over. So all of her family pictures from my mom have us with these giant bushy beards.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
And I love it.
So this will not go that long. As I said on my weekly update that I recorded today, I have a suspicion that it will need to vanish in January.
Well, it might.
Yes, because of I teach at a school
mm-hmm.
where beards are against the dress code still.
Correct. Man, that'll change eventually.
That will change eventually. It's an old relic of an older time
that
the bureaucracy has held on to a little longer than it needs to.
Very
but
pugnaciously.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm the one who said yes to teaching at the school. So
and to following their guidelines.
Yep. But I also don't love having a beard.
Really?
Yeah, I find it mostly an annoyance. But, you
well,
know,
where are you? Are you in like second week?
I'm second
beard?
Week, which is the worst week.
Two and three are the worst weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get past that, it's pretty good.
It gets better.
I like it.
But I still don't prefer it once you get past that even.
Yeah.
But
I miss my beard though.
Yeah. I will let mine grow out probably. And then this time I'm not going to go super bushy. I'm not going full on Gandalf as I promised that someday I will. I'm more of a Radagast, at least in looks, than I am a Gandalf. So it'll be full on Radagast probably without the bird poo.
There you go.
But I will go full on wizard at some point in my life. But
very nice.
I'm not gray enough for full on wizard yet.
Yeah.
I don't have the distinguished gray of a proper wizard. So.
Ah, well, do you want a food heist?
I would love a food heist, even though you warned me ahead of time that you were not enamored with this food heist.
Oh, I am enamored with it. I just said it's not a very good one.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
The definition of good in that. It's not a good food heist, but it's a good story.
It's a wonderful story. It's a very short, stupid story. And calling it a heist is giving far more credit to this thief than she deserves.
I sense a theme in the food heist you've been presenting. I think in our third year of podcasting, we are.
Yeah. We're running out of like classic historical food heists.
Mm-hmm.
We've run through the greats of the canon. And we are now kind of dealing with the dregs. Although this is, to be fair, this is a brand new one.
Okay. And these are still very fun. It's just we've had to continually broaden our definition.
Mm-hmm. This took place on just May 20th, which as of this recording is, I think, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
A little less than that.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. It is so recent, I think, that it has happened since the last time we recorded.
Mm.
This was in Georgia.
Okay.
Where a woman broke into a restaurant called the Harvest Moon Cafe.
Okay.
And made herself a salad.
Well,
and then ate it and then got arrested. But in the process of making the salad, she just touched all the ingredients and the restaurant says she ruined about $500 worth of food.
Wow. Not getting real high on our food heist board there. We should have a board where it's like, you know, you put up the new record. $500, huh?
$500.
She just really wanted a salad. Is she sending a message, right? It's like, Is this a plea to get into food heist prison and we're not going to send her because she just has to go to regular prison?
I mean, it sounds like a regular prison thing.
Mm-hmm.
If she ends up in food heist prison,
yeah,
I think she'd be completely out of her depth.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's 23 years old. This might be the first time she's ever stolen a salad.
Yeah.
And to be fair, for a rookie, $500 is not bad, right?
I think I could cause $500 in property damage. Real easily.
Food-based property damage.
I'm not impressed by $500. I'm not impressed unless it was a statement. I'm not impressed by the, I sit here and eat my salad. I don't even make a getaway, which is kind of an essential part of a heist.
Mm-hmm. That's why I say we can't really call it one.
Mm-hmm.
But it does sound almost like the calling card
yes.
of a supervillain, like sending a henchman to go ruin a bunch of food, trip all the alarms, and then be sitting there calmly eating the salad when the police show up, which I don't know if that's actually what happened.
Or it doesn't say. It's someone who's applying to be like a sidekick to a food heist supervillain, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm showing off that I don't care. The man can't keep me down. I'm going to eat my salad. I'm going to go make my salad, and I'm going to just sit here and...
You know, more and more this is starting to sound very... very similar to the groundskeeper, right?
Yeah.
The person who stole the food and then let himself get caught, which we postulated was because he was trying to get into food heist prison.
Yes.
For something. This could be a nemesis of the groundskeeper.
I don't know that this person deserves that. Let's be honest. The groundskeeper was perfectly reasonable. This might be stretching. Might be stretching just a little bit.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all the pieces were there for the groundskeeper story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here, I don't know. I think they just wanted a salad.
It's just someone who wanted a salad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever.
So what are we talking about today other than people who want salads very desperately?
Well, have you seen all the stuff in the news about the whistleblower talking about UFOs?
I have indeed seen all the stuff.
And what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, I mean, I'm Mulder, right? I want to believe. It would be a wonderful day when extraterrestrial life is confirmed. I think it would be delightful and interesting. I find this no more credible than the thousands of times this has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why The Guardian gave credence to it, because a lot of people are like, look, The Guardian did an article on it. I'm like,
yeah. The Guardian is a paper that I trust.
Yeah.
Arguably more than any other paper. Mm. And then they give credence to something like this.
I read the article. It was definitely not they're reporting on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't be too down on them, because this is a thing that people are talking about and whatnot. But it does fuel it.
You know,
I would love to be proven wrong. I would love for this guy to come out and be absolutely credible and force the U.S. to admit that they've been having contact with aliens forever. That would be really cool.
Yeah,
I'd be on board with that. I don't think it's true. And I think that not only do I not think it's true, I think it's barely worth talking about, unfortunately.
Okay, well, I need to ask, though,
because
like you, I want to believe.
Yes.
Do you, real talk,
mm-hmm.
actually believe that extraterrestrials have visited Earth?
No.
No?
I do believe that extraterrestrials absolutely exist.
Same.
I do not think they have visited Earth.
You don't think they've visited Earth?
Nope. That's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the amount of cover-ups that would need to happen, now, you know, we do find out occasionally, but I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I think it makes for fun stories.
Yeah.
I think people are too eager to talk, mixed with too incompetent, mixed with, like, for these things to actually, yeah.
I mean, this is what we wrote about in one of the Dark One Forgotten episodes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a conspiracy by its nature cannot survive with more than a couple of people for any appreciable amount of time. Just secrets get out, always, inevitably.
And I think people would argue this secret is out, and the government's working very hard to cover it up and
hush it up.
I think it would be totally cool to discover. But I just don't think, like, number one, the physics of it, the fact that, like, to imagine that extraterrestrials are visiting Earth, we have to also imagine a galactic conspiracy against this little planet that is nowhere near their technological level.
Mm-hmm.
So I do love the stories where, you know, Earth is a nature preserve and we make sure that it can't find out about the rest of this. But the fact that we haven't found radio signals or anything of the like.
Do you have a personal pet theory about Fermi's paradox?
About Fermi's paradox? Boy, I look at all of those and I think that life must just be rare. And I would guess of the Fermi's paradox answers, the one of we're just at the wrong time. Maybe, like, there's once, like, life develops at about the same speed, there are ones out there, but they're far enough away that we can't detect their radio signals because they move at the speed of light, and they've only been happening for a couple of, you know, hundred years at maximum. Like, that one seems reasonable to me, but I don't know if I have a pet theory on Fermi. I mean, Skyward is Fermi's Paradox book. That was the first idea that started me down that rabbit hole that wrote that series, which is the everyone is dark in space on purpose. They don't emit any detectable signals because there are things that will find them.
Yeah, if they do, the dark forest.
The dark forest theory was exciting to me, and so I wrote a book series kind of going down that path. But I don't know. I don't know if I have a personal one. Like, it is, I think Fermi's Paradox is a legit good question because it, every time I read them, I'm like, none of these seem like the mesh with both my personal philosophy on just like cosmology and mesh with what I think is reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to believe in the kind of, which one they call it, where it's...
The great filter.
The great filter. I don't want to necessarily believe in a great filter. It doesn't match. Like, I am an optimist. I believe we will work through our things. I don't believe we will nuke ourselves out of oblivion. I don't believe that nuking yourself into oblivion, I guess I should say, is so inevitable that every culture has done it before they can.
Well, and that's part of the problem is that a lot of these theories were created during the Cold War.
Yeah.
When there was basically one answer to every question.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything looks like a nail when all you have is a nuclear warhead.
Yes.
For those who aren't familiar, Fermi's Paradox basically boils down to if the universe is as big as it is, there's got to be other life out there. The fact that we haven't detected any is super weird.
Yeah.
And the great filter is the idea that says there's something that happens to a sentient civilization inevitably that wipes them out. And so when they get to a certain point, they stop being visible. They stop sending out signals. They stop exploring because they get filtered out. And that, you know, kind of the two main theories are one, we haven't hit the great filter yet because that's nuclear annihilation and every civilization will eventually destroy itself. Or we are past the great filter and we're the only civilization to make it past because intelligent life is super rare, basically, is what that one is.
Boy, you know, neither of those. Like, we keep finding exoplanets are really common.
Yeah, they are. They're friggin' everywhere.
Super, super common. And so life... Maybe life is just super, super rare. Mm-hmm. But even if it's super, super rare, like, you've seen how many stars there are? It's a whole lot of stars.
My personal theory on this goes back to that same idea of, you know, the Fermi's Paradox relies on certain assumptions.
Yes.
One of them is that every intelligent civilization will eventually invent radio communication.
Right.
What if they don't?
What if they don't?
What if they came up with a different kind of communication that we haven't figured out how to detect yet?
Or what if we're wrong and it's just a lot harder to detect these little radio communications from other planets?
They get lost in the noise of the universe.
Lost in the noise. Like, that seems pretty reasonable to me. But I am not a scientist who, we could pull a scientist up here who'd be like, no, 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 we could tell. We could absolutely tell.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what SETI was for the longest time, if you're not familiar, was this idea of there've got to be radio signals from these other cultures. So one of the theories that maybe I go to is the kind of, like I said earlier, like when I was reading for Skyward, I don't remember the names of all of them, but one of them was, it just takes a long time for life to develop, and we're one of the first ones to get there. There's no great filter. It's just that life is developing at about the same rate, and so we don't see any of these things because we're all kind of hitting this at the same time, and we're one of the early ones.
Which could be.
But it is really baffling. Like, it legit is one of those things I'm like, this isn't like Zeno's Paradox, where you hear it and you're like, oh, ha-ha, right? Zeno's Paradox is like, well, motion is actually elusive. You're like, yes, your math says it is, but...
But come on, man.
Come on, man. Yeah. and things like this. Like, yes, this is a fun story to tell at parties to make people's brains get tied in knots. Fermi's Paradox, I legit think, this is weird.
Yeah.
This is super weird. What's going on? And the only answers I can have are these ones, or to go into theological sort of things and whatnot, which, you know, doesn't really do much good either.
So now I lost my train of thought. So I'm going to move on to the next thing, which is, in light of all of that, I want to talk about alien invasion movies.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on board for this.
So the first question we have then is, where are we going to set our boundaries?
What counts as an invasion?
Yes. So like E.T., Arrival, Starman, like those are benevolent aliens coming to visit. We don't count those.
Those are first contact movies.
Yeah.
Not invasion movies.
Okay.
I would say.
So
I can agree to that parameter.
Okay. We agree to that parameter. Yes. The next one is how big does it have to be an invasion? Can we count Predator as an alien invasion movie? It's just one dude.
I don't think he wants to hold ground. I think an invasion must hold ground.
Okay.
If they're not intending to hold ground, you're not an invasion.
Okay.
Right?
So I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
Because an invasion doesn't necessarily have the intent to conquer, right? They might just be coming to
raid.
Steal something and then leave.
Maybe, but I feel like they need to like hold ground for a time. Right? Like, even if you're sacking Rome, you're coming in, you're holding some ground.
Yeah.
It is yours for a few days and then you leave.
And then you leave.
Like, I don't think you send an assassin into a country to kill a specific person. You're invading that country. Like, it's not a good idea to do that, but you're not invading the country, you know? If someone sneaks across the border from Canada to the U.S. in order to, whatever they want to do, steal a kumquat, they're not invading America.
Agreed.
The Predator is not invading Earth.
Certain news sources would disagree.
Yes.
That people sneaking across our border to steal our resources are
very,
not
very important kumquats. Yeah, I don't think that's an invasion.
Okay. What about sentience? Does it have to be a purposeful invasion? I'm thinking of something like Evolution or Slither, where the alien invasion is basically an infestation.
I would let that.
Bugs or creatures?
I'd let that count.
We're going to count that.
I'm going to count that.
Okay, good.
Do you want to count that?
I want to count that because
I think that counts.
My very favorite alien invasion movie falls into that category.
Okay.
So I don't want to lose it.
Okay. I think that counts.
Okay.
I don't think we can count Predator.
No Predator.
No Predator.
Okay.
No Predator.
Because there's others that are similar. Mm-hmm. What was the one I was thinking of? I can't remember. Okay. So I've got pulled up here a list from Wikipedia that's just alien invasions in films.
Okay.
And I'm going to run through it.
You're going to run through the whole list?
No, because there's tons, but I'm going to just go through the ones that I recognize. And I want to ask you about them. Oh, wait. I want to put one more parameter on this.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Ooh. Back up for a sec. Yeah.
Are we counting superhero movies? Because most of the Avengers movies... Half the Superman movies are also technically alien invasions, right?
Yeah, Avengers 1 is an alien invasion movie. That's what it is. So, yeah.
Okay.
I think that has to count. I don't think that some other things are alien invasion movies. I don't think that Captain Marvel is an alien invasion movie. Again, I don't think they're
really
here to claim ground or things like that. That's like a secret strike force trying to achieve something. But Avengers, absolutely an alien invasion movie. Man of Steel, alien invasion movie.
Man of Steel, absolutely an alien invasion. Okay, I lied. Here's one more parameter to put on this. Are we looking only at movies that are the invasion itself? What about a post-invasion like District 9 or Alien Nation or something where aliens came a while ago and we've settled into a status quo?
I don't think those count because
they're
not about
the
invasion. They're not about the invasion.
All right.
Wow, lots of parameters.
There's a lot of movies that are getting weeded out through this process. Let me ask first, have you seen either of the Cloverfield movies?
I have seen Cloverfield Lane. I did not see
Cloverfield Lane.
Regular Cloverfield.
Did you like Cloverfield?
Yes, it's a very good movie.
I liked it right up until you see aliens.
Right. It gets worse when it becomes a Cloverfield movie.
Yeah.
But yeah. Actually, I was at Bad Robot when JJ was cutting the trailer for that.
Really?
And he's actually like said, hey, do you want to see the trailer for the new movie? I'm like, sure. He's like, what do you think? And he showed me the movie, the trailer. I had never thought about how to cut a trailer before. And I'm like, that was a great trailer. But I didn't have any feedback.
Man.
I felt like I should have had some feedback for him. He was so excited by his trailer.
Yeah. So. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love 99% of that movie.
Of that
it's
movie.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then there's a dumb part that I ignore.
Okay. So.
Okay. Do you want to go through this list or do we want to just name
I feel
some
like
of the standouts?
We should start with the OG.
Okay.
Right?
Which is
War
going to be
Worlds.
What? War of the Worlds?
Right.
Okay.
That's got to be the OG invasion, alien invasion.
Well, movie. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
is that
I think if we're looking at movies.
Oh, you're talking about movies. Only movies.
Did Invasion of the Body Snatchers hit before the first War of the Worlds?
Adam.
I don't actually know.
Adam, what are the dates on the movies Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Or are you doing homework over there? We're talking about the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers and the Orson Welles
I might be War able to find Worlds. That here. So yeah. HGL's The War of the Worlds.
1978 for Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
There's a 53 War of the Worlds.
Oh, 1956.
Okay.
Okay, 53. So 53 beats 56. War of the Worlds beats
Invasion of
the Body Snatchers, right? Yeah, but there's
got to be a movie before that, right?
There's The Great Martian War.
Okay.
Oh, no, that was a 2013 movie.
Oh, well, that would not then count.
But it says 1913 to 1917. That's apparently part of the title.
Okay. Like, what?
Most of them are pretty recent. This is a 97 movie. The Night America Trembled.
Hmm.
Oh, this is a TV dramatization that aired in 57.
How about this? The Day the Earth Stood Still. Is that an alien invasion movie?
Well, I'm going to say by our parameters it's not, because it's a benevolent alien visiting Earth.
I mean, I didn't say benevolence. He comes down and stops all...
Mm-hmm. But he's not here to hold territory. He's here to warn us that we're going
to
blow ourselves up.
Yep. So Day the Earth Stood Still doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
So... looks like War of the Worlds is the first, because Day the Earth Stood Still is black and white. War of the Worlds is, it's color.
I mean, first War of the Worlds, it says it's 53. That's got to be black and white.
I suppose. Which?
When was the...
when's the one I'm thinking of?
The Orson Welles radio show.
We did our homework before we decided to do this episode. we sat and did in-depth, exhaustive research.
1938.
38 is when that happened.
Is when's the Orson Welles radio show?
If you go to War of the Worlds, I bet you'll see adaptations, and we'll see when the first adaptation and when the...
Well, that's what I was looking at, and 53 is the earliest one I can
earliest
find.
Earliest one. I have vivid memories, but maybe it's just from the posters, of the little alien pod ships being in color and flashing lights. But maybe I'm transposing onto a black and white movie the colors from the poster. I have not seen it since I was young.
Poster is very brightly colored, yes. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. The movie is black and white, right?
Ooh, wait.
Color?
In the special effects section of War of the Worlds 53, it says that the machines fire a pulsing green ray from their wingtips.
See? I think movies were in color by 53, weren't they?
Probably, because
it took a while for television.
Wizard of Oz, was...
that's color.
That's late 30s.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So
I don't know why
color.
We would... why. Yeah. You're messing with my brain, Dan.
I'm trying to gaslight you into thinking...
So why is The Day the Earth Stood Still black and white? Did they just film that because they wanted to in black and white?
And a lot of them were
stylistic
choices.
Choice. Because in my head, Day the Earth Stood Still is way before... War of the Worlds for that reason, but this is why we're not film historians.
Okay.
This is why.
Looking up stills from the movie War of the Worlds 1953, it is giving me both color images and black and white images.
Well, it would have shown on television in black and white.
Yeah, so that's its color.
Yep.
Okay, and then Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yep.
Come here.
We know that's 57. We already looked it up. Out of curiosity, Adam, give me The Day the Earth Stood Still. 51? Okay, so there we are. But it doesn't count. So, War of the Worlds. Let's just discuss War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds.
And in the comments section, tell us if you know of an alien invasion movie that happened before.
Predates 1953.
Yes.
Clearly the story has been around since, you know, H.G. Wells and who knows how long ago, but...
And I'm going to guess that any other alien invasion movies... draw liberally upon War of the Worlds because it was so much a part of kind of the public unconsciousness.
It was the Lord of the Rings of alien invasion stories.
It was. What do you think? Have you seen them both? I say both. Have you seen the Tom Cruise and the original?
I have seen the 53 and I've seen the Tom Cruise.
Okay.
And thoughts? I think, I mean, I enjoy them both.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some of the changes they made to the story for the Tom Cruise one stopped making any sense, which is such a odd thing to complain about with alien invasion stories.
Well, and with War of the Worlds itself, which is not about it making sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, at the time, whenever H.G. Wells wrote it, the idea that they would come to Earth and be unfamiliar with our diseases, that was like cutting edge science fiction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the changes to the Tom Cruise one, if I remember correctly, is that the robots had already been seeded here before. And so they were just popping up.
I think that's part of the original.
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I am pretty sure it's the other way. I remember reading War of the Worlds, and maybe I have transposed in my head, but I remember that the Martian pods break up from the ground.
Really?
Yeah. Look.
I think you're wrong.
Adam, look up War of the Worlds, the book story. I feel like that's a thing that's from the book. That is a weird thing that didn't make a lot of sense, and they may have changed for the movie.
Hmm.
And but I haven't seen the 53 movie in a while.
I would be delighted if that were true. I don't think it is.
Mm.
I think that was
Spielberg.
That was Spielberg. But if it's true, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
So Adam will find out for us by reading. But anyway, I feel like that was authentic.
Okay.
Either way. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
Like, why are Martians invading from underneath the ground? But it's a stunning visual. I am very fond of the Spielberg version.
Really?
Now, I'm a Spielberg fanboy.
Same.
I really enjoy his movies. War of the Worlds is such a unique story because, like a lot of kind of early science fiction, doesn't follow really story structure in the same way that mm-hmm. We tend to do stories nowadays.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so remarkable that something like Dracula does, right? Because War of the Worlds is after Dracula. But I don't mind, right? Like the stories about the chaos that follows a sudden cataclysmic event. And it happens to be aliens, but it's about this one person's struggle to survive in that cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't follow a traditional story structure. It doesn't have traditional heroism. It has just the aliens at the end are like, oh, whoops, we're dead. Right? And I think the Spielberg version captures that sense of chaos, hopelessness, confusion, utter bafflement at what these aliens even want in such a wonderful way. The mood of it is a perfect update of what the original story was trying to do, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I will absolutely give that movie credit. I don't mm-hmm. like it as much as you do, mm-hmm. though I do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way that it presents that everyman viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the person who's going to solve the problem.
Yeah.
This is not the president of the U.S. or, you know, Jeff Goldblum, the nation's primary environmentalist hacker. I don't even remember what his job was in Independence Day. This is just some dude. He's a longshoreman trying to keep his two kids alive.
Yep.
And that is the entire story. Mm. And I think that is such a fascinating way of looking at mm-hmm. the alien invasion, that it's not about solving the problem. It's not about being in a position of power. It's just, how can I survive this for the next 2 hours?
And the imagery, like that scene where the tripod comes up from behind the hill after Tom Cruise's son has run off toward it mm-hmm. and he's having to choose which child to try to protect, is just burned into my brain. It's a beautiful, stunning Spielbergian, larger than life image mm-hmm. in a film about just a guy trying to survive.
The scene in the basement.
Yep.
Tim Robbins is incredible.
Yep.
The scene.
And that's one ripped right out of the
refugees fleeing across the river.
Yep. Right out of the book, the basement scene. But again, I haven't read the book in many years, so I could be wrong about what is from the book and what isn't.
That's okay, because we have confidently stated an opinion online.
Right.
People will let us know that you're wrong.
Okay.
Which is what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
But maybe I'm wrong, and then people will confidently state that to me.
Yes. One of us gets to be right.
I know. It's rare.
Oh, that's a good one, Dan.
Okay.
Hits a little too close.
Okay, we mentioned Independence Day.
Yes.
Which I would argue maybe past War of the Worlds and past Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Independence Day is the next big, great alien invasion story.
Okay, yeah. I'm on board with that. I don't think it ever worked for Roland Emmerich again.
No.
But that movie legitimately works as what it's trying to be and is a great movie.
Yeah, it's very silly.
Yes.
It does not hold together well.
Nope. The pieces are kind of a little bit of a mess. It's melodramatic, over the top, and kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But the sum of all that together works.
Yeah.
That would be my opinion on Independence Day, is this just works as a movie-going experience.
Mm-hmm.
And again, captures a little bit of that sense of War of the Worlds. Like, it has echoes of War of the Worlds in it in ways that I like. Even though this is the America version of that, where it's like, we're going to name it Independence Day because, you know, you sissy H.G. Wells, your guy just wanders around. We're going to go blow them up.
We're going to blow them up.
Yep.
I do love, and I think one of the great strengths of that movie is all the dogfighting.
Yes.
I think it was brilliant, whether it was Emmerich or whoever else, the writer, who said, hey, you know all the cool spaceship dogfights in the Star Wars movies?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that, but with F-15s or whatever they used.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is a legit great movie, but it is so dumb.
It is super dumb.
So melodramatic.
Okay, so here's the next question.
Yes.
That was 96.
Yes.
97 was Men in Black.
Yes.
And so I grouped them together in my mind. Part of this is because I was serving my mission over both of them.
One of them is a great movie. One of them is even better.
Yeah. Men in Black is an incredible movie.
It's a perfect movie. That's a 10 out of 10.
Is it an alien invasion movie? Because the big bug roach guy, his goal is to eventually conquer all of Earth. But that's not really what he's doing in the first movie. So I don't think we can call it an alien invasion movie.
It's definitely adjacent. I wouldn't call it an alien invasion movie. They're going to annihilate the planet. They're going to blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there to invade. He may want to do stuff like that, but yeah.
Yeah.
He's not there to do it then. So no Men in Black.
No Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
But yay, Independence Day. Did you see the second Independence Day movie?
I did not.
I never did either.
I read the reviews and thought.
It said, I can stay away from this one.
Again, it has never worked for him again doing that same formula. It was lightning in a bottle. And yeah, I have not enjoyed other Roland Emmerich's attempts at making this style of movie.
Okay. Before we totally leave Spielberg behind, I do want to mention Close Encounters of the Third Kind is one of my all-time favorite movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
Not an invasion.
Nope.
Because they're here benevolently.
Yep.
But I just wanted to throw that out.
Throw out and say, I like one of the greatest movies of all time. Yeah. I have good taste. Stop telling me.
I have good taste. Everyone needs to appreciate it.
Okay. You do have good taste in that in that specific instance. It is an excellent movie.
Did you see the second and third Men in Black movie?
I did.
Did you enjoy them?
I thought I was in the majority and really liking number three.
I love three.
And I have recently been led to believe that a lot of people like two and don't like three. Which I think is baffling because I didn't think two was very good.
Yeah, I am with you on this. Two, I didn't love. Three, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think prevailing opinion is the opposite.
Is it? Really? Yeah, yeah. I was surprised by that because up until recently, I had heard that, I mean, Josh Brolin, his performance in three is incredible. And
him doing his Tommy Lee Jones impersonation
and
makes that movie.
Giving that heart to his character and some of those things, it all works for me. I like a good kind of goofy time travel movie, and it does that pretty well. And so I am quite a fan of three, but it's not.
Okay.
It is an alien invasion movie.
Is it?
Yeah, it starts off with aliens invading, and Will Smith has to go back in time to stop them.
Oh. I don't even remember.
The cold open is the world being invaded by the aliens, and he's like, I gotta go do something. Oh, I'm back in time. I can now stop them from invading. Somehow.
Okay.
So,
well, now we know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's embarrassing. Maybe that is a strike against it if I couldn't remember that was the plot of it.
Mm.
All right. Do you have, maybe this is late in the episode to be asking this question.
Yeah, yes.
Do you have a favorite alien invasion movie?
I've been thinking about this since you pitched the topic. I want to hear yours first because I need a minute longer to kind of stew on what my favorite would be.
Okay, so I go back and forth between two of them.
Okay.
Attack the Block.
Okay.
Have you seen that one?
I have not, but I am familiar with it.
Absolutely phenomenally wonderful movie. John Boyega, before he was really discovered, this was his breakout movie. And Jodie Whittaker, before she was Doctor. Bunch of alien creatures attack a South London housing estate.
Okay.
Absolutely love that movie. And then the other one is another one from about the same time called Monsters.
Haven't seen that either.
This one was made by Gareth Edwards. This is basically a metaphor about immigration.
I really thought you were going to say Annihilation because I thought that...
I love Annihilation.
Because that's the... It's more of an infestation than an invasion. I was primed for that because I'm like, oh, he doesn't want Annihilation to be, but I guess this one is the same way.
Actually, Attack the Block is also that.
Oh, it's Attack the Block.
They postulate that it is spores that have been traveling through space and have hit Earth. Mm-hmm. Also, Monsters is kind of sort of this same thing. Monsters landed. This is actually maybe breaks our post-invasion rule that we set up. But big alien squid monster things have landed in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years later, there's this kind of walled off zone to keep people out and to keep the monsters in.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy gets hired to go down to southern Mexico and bring this rich guy's daughter back to the U.S. And he has to pass through the quarantine zone to get there. Really wonderful alien monster movie that is also very kind of poetic and sad. In a way.
Yeah.
I love both of those.
Okay. So mine are going to be much more blockbustery.
Okay.
Right?
Go for it.
What I can't decide is if I let Avengers be the top alien invasion movie because of the ones we've discussed, it's my favorite movie. I don't think we can.
Avengers over Infinity War or Endgame?
So I think Infinity War and Endgame I like more, but the invasion aspect is less important to them. And so, like, if I'm going to rank my favorite alien invasion movies, I think I rank them underneath, even though if you're just going to say which ones are my favorite movies, I will put Infinity War and Endgame above.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think that's fair.
What I can't decide is if I put War of the Worlds above Avengers for the same reason. But I think I'm going to go with Avengers because it legit starts with an alien invading Earth and then trying to conquer Earth. It has a big old thing with a bunch of aliens that come in to try to hold ground and take the planet. It is legit alien invasion. I might go with that, but it's real close with the War of the Worlds. I'd be curious if there are any others on this list that you have that could be contenders that I'm not thinking of.
Well, I will shout a few out as I go past them. Annihilation is definitely one of them.
Annihilation's a good movie.
Annihilation is more of an alien terraforming movie than an invasion movie.
Uh-huh.
I love it, though. Let's see here.
Did Mars Attack make any lists of yours?
Mars Attacks. I don't love Mars Attack.
I don't either.
I'm not a Tim Burton guy, is the thing.
I am. I really like Tim Burton. I was hyped for it. And I spent that movie kind of wanting to laugh and never laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't quite land to me, even though that's during the Tim Burton golden era. So... And I watched
it. Like, that's fair.
I watched it, I think, in theaters or at least right after it came out on video. So
okay, so scroll up a little so we can see the E's. Yep. I don't know if you audience are seeing anything that we're seeing
this.
Here.
This is
Edge of Tomorrow, which is the Tom Cruise Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
100% an alien invasion movie. Aliens are invading Earth. And the story is a time loop.
Yes.
But the backdrop for it is aliens invading Earth.
It's taking my top spot. Okay. It's knocking out Avengers and the other Tom Cruise alien invasion movie. He likes those for some reason. I wonder why.
That's weird.
Very strange.
Technically, Battlefield Earth is invasion movie.
Yes, but is he in that?
No, he's not.
So.
I don't know why I would even mention it in context of him.
Yeah, why would John Travolta want to make alien invasion movies? That does not, that's very interesting. Yes.
Okay, there's got to be something else on this list that I
Ender's
wanted
Game's
to
on
mention.
That list.
Ender's Game, I think, doesn't count.
You don't think it counts? Okay.
They're not, I mean, I wouldn't count Starship Troopers either. Both of them involve the fact that aliens have invaded Earth.
But
they don't deal with the direct...
result.
Aliens are invading Earth right now, which I think is kind of what we're going
for. I'll give that to you, though. Ender's Game could be argued that we are the aliens doing the invading.
Yeah. Ooh, well, okay. From that point of view, if it is a human invasion of an alien planet, I'm down. I like it now.
Okay.
I'll put it back on the list.
Okay.
One that's not on this list that we found on Wikipedia is Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay.
Which is very much an alien invasion movie, especially if you go with the original Broadway ending rather than the movie ending.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit more of an infestation, mm-hmm. but it's an intelligent infestation.
Yeah. And it starts with just the one, mm-hmm. the predator category. Yeah. But by the end, they have gone out and the seeds have spread through the whole everything.
No, I'm cool with that being on our list, but it doesn't bump off my top three, which are still...
Totally fair.
Yep.
How about Monsters versus Aliens?
Good movie.
Aliens invade and a bunch of kaiju take them out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's only one kaiju, two kaiju, but...
Is she a kaiju?
She's a kaiju, and then there's the little like bug guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and then the rest of them are just monsters. But either way, what about Pacific Rim?
Pacific Rim, good movie.
Alien Invasion.
Alien Invasion doesn't make my list, or doesn't make my top three.
No.
But it'd be in the top 10.
Have you seen the second one?
I have not.
Well,
same.
The second one has John Boyega in it.
Yes, but everyone said it was not that great.
It's not that great. He's great in it because he's great in everything, but it's not a great movie.
I was not that interested when Del Toro.
Del Toro. Mm-hmm. Okay, how about A Quiet Place?
Quiet Place.
Have you seen either of those?
I haven't. I bought them. They're sitting on my media server. Here's the thing about A Quiet Place. Every time, like when Emily and I go down to watch movies, we're like, oh, what movies do we have on our list to watch? You know, it's been a long day. We're tired of the kids. Mm-hmm. We're tired of work. We want to watch something. And then it's like, A Quiet Place. And we both sit and stare at it for a minute. And I know movies well enough that I can tell you the plot of A Quiet Place, having not seen it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the ending of A Quiet Place from the trailer, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to spoil A Quiet Place because I don't even know if I'm right, but...
You probably are. Yeah. We won't spoil it here. The thing about it is it is predictable, but it is incredibly innovative.
See, yes.
And it's incredibly good, but it's also kind of grueling.
Yeah, that's the part about it. Like, I'm sure that it's, like, predictability is not a bad thing for a film, right? Like, this is totally acceptable. The fact that I know what this story is going to be, and I know who's going to die, and I know it's going to be grueling, and then someone is going to die, and then it's going to be slightly hopeful at the end, but also you're going to have spent 2 hours watching a family... in crisis, followed by misery, and then a little light of hope. And we watch that, and they're like, Ted Lasso. And we just, you know.
Let's watch something happy instead.
Yes.
I will recommend Attack the Block.
Okay.
Similar vein, you will see everything coming, but it is delightful. It's space alien horror movie the whole way through, but it's very enjoyable instead of somber and grueling.
You know who's somber and grueling?
I do. Ben.
You said it, not me. I was going to actually say, I'm telling you the truth, I'm going to say, well, certainly not Ben.
Certainly not Ben.